Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Constructed Criticism. I'm your host, Spencer, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mason.
What's up, guys? Filling in as a strict downgrade for Hinderaku here.
I didn't say that.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's in the show notes. It says, Mason, say this, and then I'll act like it didn't say this. It's all scripted, right?
Yeah, sure. But also, I mean, you like pineapple on pizza, so that just automatically makes you a downgrade to Michael. That's just a fact.
That's true.
So I don't even know that has anything to do with Seal. It just has to do with, like, taste as a human being.
Not everyone's perfect, you know? Like, I like pineapple on my pizza. You don't like pineapple on your pizza. These are just things that happen, you know? You're not perfect either.
Yeah, I mean, I married my wife, and she likes pineapple on pizza, but it is probably the biggest point of contention in our marriage.
Well, rightfully so.
Yeah. The things that aren't contentious, though, if you don't want contention in your life, you can shop at Oasis Games. You can check them out at mtgoasis.com. You can get 15% off of your first order by using the code CCMTG at checkout. And you can get 5% off of every order by using the code WouldThatBeGood at checkout. Oasis really is an amazing place to buy Magic cards. They're opening up a new location. They are expanding. Go support those guys because, you know, the way they support us means a lot to me. And we really, really appreciate them. Check them out at mtgoasis.com. You can also check out our other sponsor at The Mana Base. You can go to The Mana Base to find some awesome Magic content that you can consume. They are so awesome to sponsor a show like this one, you know, and we really appreciate them. They also have a sponsor at Fusion Gaming where you can go buy your sealed products. So if you have a booster box that you're trying to purchase, I highly recommend checking out Fusion Gaming. You can check them out by going to the Mana Base's website, and there will be a link right there. So, yep. All right, let's get right into this. Oh, before we do, don't forget to check out the rest of the network. So we have a sister podcast in Limited Time Only. It's a limited podcast about getting better at Magic the Gathering with a focus on limited play. And we also have a new podcast about getting better with a focus on Pauper play, and that is our new podcast, Common Knowledge, which is hosted by former co-host of the show, Manny Moraes, and a new host named Kyle Novis. So check them out at Limited Time Only and Common Knowledge, two more podcasts about getting better at Magic the Gathering, which air on Tuesdays and Thursdays. They aired Sunday this week, and then we're airing Tuesday this week, so we kind of flop that around a bit, but we should have Danny Thursday from Japan before the Pro Tour. So don't forget to check that out. You can support this podcast and the network directly by going to patreon.com/ccmdg to become a patron of the show. You can find early access to certain things there, and every dollar that's in it is really appreciated. We have two new patrons. We have Aiden P and Tim B as our newest patrons. And honestly, when I get those notifications letting me know about those patrons, it really does mean the world to me. It brightens up my day. I just love watching those numbers change, and it brings some real joy into my life. My boss tells me, you're always looking at that, and I'm like, I know, it's so exciting, though, when I get this. So we really appreciate our patrons. If everybody donated just $1 more per month, it would be really, really helpful to us, and Michael and I could quit our jobs and do Magic content full-time. And I broke my headset, and I was able to just go buy a new one because of you guys. I also am going to be buying Kyle a headset. I just bought Michael a headset. Like, the things that we're able to do because of the Patreon are really, really important, and we really appreciate them. So shout out to Aiden and Tim, two of our newest patrons. It means the world to me. We got not a question, but a message on Patreon that I wanted to read from one of our patrons. It says, "Hey Spencer, I've been listening since before Michael became the sole co-host. Found you from a shout-out on Limited Resources, and I've really been enjoying the show and impressed with how much it continues to improve all the time. I had been meaning to contribute but hadn't gotten around to it until you mentioned from another patron who started donating with a comment along the lines of, oh, I figured that you already have 1K plus and was surprised that you didn't. I was also surprised considering the level of polish and consistency. Remember to tell that story every month or so. Happy to offer some support. Great job. Keep always improving. Sincerely, Chris V." Man, I would love $1,000 per month from the Patreon. It would be really cool. It would really change our lives. But you know, one thing that I really appreciated about this message and why I wanted to read it on the show is that a lot of hard work goes into these shows. You know, very often people ask me, and I ask listeners, for more Magic content, because really good Magic content is hard to come by, and I want to be that for people. I want to be able to create content that is different, that is something that you really, really wanted. And I hope that we're doing that, and I really appreciate the kind words, Chris, so thank you so much. And thank you to Marshall. Marshall's kind of been a mentor of mine in a very small capacity. He's always open for me asking questions about podcasting, and it really means the world to me. So if you haven't checked out Limited Resources for some reason, definitely go do it. They're an amazing podcast as well. So
definitely.
Let's get right into this. So let's start with our first segment this week, which is going to be hashtag always improving. Hashtag always improving is the point of the show. We believe if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. And we always wanted to be doing what we can to improve in Magic the Gathering. It's really important to us to try and be the best that we can be at while we're playing this game. So Mason, it's your inaugural hashtag always improving moment. It better be a good one, man.
I think it is a good one. So I just got done playing the SCG team tournament in Atlanta. Unfortunately, my team missed out on day two, but it was just really awesome to have that moment of really working and trying to improve on something together as a team, and kind of having that goal of all kind of wanting to work towards the same thing, and the camaraderie was just awesome. I got to meet Adrian, another supporter of the podcast, and I believe he got like top 12 or top 16. Another one of my friends, they got 10th place. So it was just a really great weekend for just in general, just to have a lot of fun and, you know, all work towards the same goal, and at the same time getting to experience a team tournament in a Magic setting. I've played team tournaments in other card games, but Magic is much different. You get to lean over and talk to your teammates and stuff like that, and it's crazy and a lot of fun. I honestly think Team Magic the Gathering is the future of professional Magic, so it's awesome to play one of those events and get to experience it.
You gotta have fun, man.
Yeah, it was awesome.
What do you think caused you guys to sputter out and not make day two?
We hit a couple of like bad matchups, so we kind of picked decks that were we thought would be good versus certain types of decks, and kind of hoping to dodge certain matchups. That was kind of our plan. So for example, like our modern player was on Thopter Sword, the blue white control deck playing the Thopter Foundry combo, and our legacy player, he only plays elves. He's been playing elves now since Legacy's inception, and he did really well. But sometimes you can run into the wrong matchups with those kind of decks. They're not as diverse as decks like Grixis Delver, for example, or like a Death Shadow that are more like, you know, 60-40 versus the field or 50-50. So we hit a couple of those just at kind of the wrong time. Like a lot of the and it kind of makes sense too if you think about it. The teams that that we hit into losses, they had all decks that are kind of like, you know, the antithesis of our decks, because you'd imagine friend groups would do that. And so I think if I had to redo something, we might have our modern player play more well-rounded deck, especially since it's modern. It was a concern we thought about that in modern people just play what they love, but we were kind of hoping that we would get through the early rounds and start hitting the other spike groups, and those kind of people would be playing the Eldrazi Trons, Affinities, and Death Shadows of the World. So,
okay.
Yep.
Cool. That's awesome.
What was your hashtag always improving moment?
Oh man, I've had so many this week. So first of all, I'm sick right now. So I'm trying to hashtag always improve my health today. But the show must go on, and I didn't want to cancel on you guys. But in Magic terms, you know, I'm trying to get better at certain aspects of being on Magic teams. I'm on two Magic teams now. We have the Constructive Criticism local Utah testing team, and now the Constructive Criticism worldwide team, where apparently we're all going to nationals in New Zealand, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, once I have my Christian Mingle account.
Yeah, I think Jake Tilk's got you on that one, man. So, you know, just message him. He's got you all set up. But I think that trying to learn how to maximize my time in Magic is really important. You know, one of my best friends that I share an account with, former co-host of the show, Quentin Pierce, he's getting back into Magic. So my unlimited standard cards at my disposal at all times is – I'm missing Chandra's now. Well, not really. I could just go to his account and get him. But it's gonna be fun having him back, and it's gonna be interesting as I'm getting more into Moto as well. Just being able to test with different people, being able to maximize my time, things like that. It's really fun time for me right now in Magic, because I try and learn the things that I need to do to kind of maximize what my goals are and where I'm trying to get. Because you know, with this new bronze announcement. You know, my goal was to maybe try and hit silver next year, right? Like, to do what I can to, like, make a run at it. But I think bronze is, like, legitimately just achievable. And so I'm very much going to try and get that next year. So it's just interesting. It's gonna be really fun. I'm really excited for it. And I got to do a lot of playtesting this week, so I'm kind of all over the place in Magic. I don't know what my specific moment is, other than trying to figure out how to maximize time. It's kind of what it is.
Yep, that's something we're all always dealing with too. So yeah, it's definitely one you get to stay on top of. For sure.
Yeah. So, let's go on to our next segment. So, no deck doctor this week and no card of the week, but we will be doing a card of the week next week. After the Pro Tour, when we have Michael back, we want to go into some mega rankings for Modern. So we want to talk about the decks that are doing well in Modern. The way this works is we give points according to their finish. So they get 6 points for first, 5 for second, 3 for top 4, or 4 for top 4, 3 for top 8, 2 for top 16, and 1 for top 32. And we took all of the events in Modern in the past, I think, 2 months, including Classics, things like that, from the SEG Tour, and we're going to talk about kind of these very strange power rankings and how they look, because they do not match Modo basically at all right now. And I do think that the Classic meta games are really weird. So just because they're weird doesn't mean that these decks can't do well, you know, at a 200 person event, which is what a lot of people, you know, they need to be able to at least do well at these type of events to go and do well at something like a GP or things like that. And especially when you think about, you know, what your metagame might look like at a PPDQ, it's probably closer to something like a SEG Classic than it is like a GP.
Definitely. I would feel the same way.
So let's get – so starting in with 11 points, we have the Green-White Company decks. This deck is – what are your thoughts on this deck?
So this deck's really interesting to me. So Todd Stevens has kind of been championing this deck recently. He was playing it before they got the new Crucible on a Stick, Ranrimp Excavator, I believe, or something like that. But now, with the new Crucible on a Stick, he's able to collect a company into it. And I think this deck is a very interesting deck. I was super excited to see what he would do with it, since he's kind of the pioneer. And after seeing this deck, I kind of like some of the directions it's going. I don't know if it's powerful enough for Modern, but Modern's kind of in like a fair place this kind of deck can exist. You know, like about 6 months ago, before Death Shadow was kind of keeping combo decks in check, this deck would just be a joke. But with Death Shadow and Eldrazi Tron and Affinity being some of the better decks in the format, I think this deck has real legs, and it gets to play a lot of really powerful cards and do a lot of really powerful things. Like, for example, triple Ghost Quartering someone on a turn is pretty powerful, so I'm curious to see what you think about it, though, because it's kind of a very fair strategy, to say the least.
I like company decks. I think that, like, legitimately, when we, like, watched events in the last week, you saw a lot of people playing different Court of Call and company decks, this deck just being one of the flavors. I think that whether it's Elves, whether it's Bant Company, whether it's Green-White Company, I think that Court of Call and Collected Company has solidified itself as a strategy in this format. And honestly, I think that I like the Green-White versions a little bit better.
What do you think of this deck not playing Cord? It's playing Path over Cord.
Well, some of them are. Not all of the ones that got 11 points were doing that.
Oh, sure. I'm sorry. I meant the one like on screen. Like, what do you think about Todd Stevens' decision to play Path over Cord?
Well, so Todd Stevens' points actually weren't included in the power rankings. I actually didn't use the team event numbers.
Oh, okay.
That being said, I do think that in this current metagame, rather than, you know, trying to like jam a Fiend Hunter in there and trying to get lucky with that every once in a while, just playing Path is completely reasonable. And you only get so many non-creature slots anyway, you might as well take them up with the thing you actually want.
Okay, that's reasonable. Yeah. What do you think about this deck compared to like the mono white fair decks we've been seeing at like GP Vegas and stuff like that? It seems like this is kind of do you think this is like a more powerful version of that deck, or how do you feel? Do you think like they're just completely different archetypes?
I think Thraven Inspector is literally unplayable in Modern, and that you should be ashamed for putting it in your deck.
All right. I like it. Strong and passionate. Tell me how you really feel.
legitimately, I think that I get that you have to fill out your curve with certain things. You want to do certain things. I think that this deck does a better job. And honestly, like, green white hate bears just in general is probably better than that deck than regular Death and Taxes anyway. But I think the Collected Company does a special thing where it really allows your deck to find the pieces that you want often. Now, the version that we have on the screen is the Todd Stevens version. It's very different. It was very focused on the team meta and what he expected to play, and he might play different cards if you, you know, ask him tomorrow. I do think that the Devoted Druid combo is something that you'll still need to be prepared for out of these decks, even if they start just jamming this into Todd Stevens versions. It's just something you have to be aware of. But overall, I think that Knight of the Reliquary, when you get two knights off of a Collected Company, like, you kind of feel like you're cheating.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. It's very powerful. Another thing I think that's worth noting is that you're in white, which gives you some of the best sideboard cards in Modern. So you can definitely kind of, like, tailor your sideboard to beat certain strategies if you want to. So kind of looks like Todd was metagaming certain strategies for the team open as well.
Yeah, I did find it interesting that he played two Stony Silences and a Kataki. And a Reclamation Sage and a... Like, he had a lot of artifact hate.
I mean,
and a Wasali Pride Mage.
Like you know, maybe he has this blood pack where he always brings artifact hate. But
no, yeah. I do have that. You know, that's a real thing. Like, I literally will not show up to a tournament without affinity hate. But this is a lot.
Hey, maybe he's been burned one too many times. Maybe affinity is one of his worst matchups, and so he's just like, some of these cards are good against multiple things. So, like, you know,
I could actually see this deck having a really rough affinity matchup game one.
Yeah, you're trying to do things like play Azusa and Ghost Quarter someone three times, so,
yeah. I think that you are overselling something that happened on camera.
I actually didn't watch any of the feature matches, so I was there the whole time. Did he do that on camera? It's just, that's the only reason Azusa's in the deck, is like that and Horizon Canopy, right?
He did.
Okay.
He did.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, it's sweet.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it happens way more than I think it did.
I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch the feature matches. I didn't get to see him very much.
Coming up next, though, we have Burn coming in with 12 points. So this deck is a very unfortunate part of playing Modern. No, I'm just kidding. It's really fun. I'm actually glad that this deck is in the format. I think that the thing that this deck really got the most in recent times, to be completely honest, is Monasteries with Spirits is just super powerful, and it really lets you streamline your deck and what it's trying to do. But and also, like, the fact that you can play that and just cut down and not have to play green anymore, outside of, you know, some sideboard cards, is really powerful. It really streamlined the deck. It lets you play, you know, unfortunately, you do lose access to, you know, the 8 Scroll Cack version, but I think that Lightning Helix is completely reasonable and okay to play instead.
Yeah,
and your man is just better now. One thing that I will say, though, is that I think that as someone who plays a lot of Titan Shift, I see people like cutting down on the number of bolts they're playing in this format. And when you do that, you really do give Burn an opportunity to take a larger share of the metagame, because like those their best draws are all their creature draws. And if you just don't have anything to do turn one to interact with that Goblin Guide or that one Star Swiftbeard, you're gonna fall behind really quickly. And I think that this deck has been benefiting from people cutting bolts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. It feels like the metagame is kind of moved in a position where it is getting a bit better. Is Burn a deck that you would be looking to play if you had to play a PBDQ this weekend and you couldn't play Titan Shift, for example? Is this the kind of strategy you want to be at right now in Modern, or do you think it's just a very popular strategy that, like you said, it's kind of growing in popularity because of the shifting in decks?
If I was going to play a deck this weekend and it wasn't going to be Titan Shift, it would probably either be Affinity or Grixis Shadow. Like, it would be one of those two decks.
Okay. Interesting. I was just curious. That Burn's been a thing of conversation recently, like me and some of the other guys on the Constructor Criticism Worldwide were talking about earlier this week. Some of us are higher on it, some of us are lower on it. I'm kind of on the lower end of things, but I still think it's pretty well positioned. I mean, the idea of just dealing 20 as quickly as possible is always pretty good in Modern. So,
yeah. Yep. I think that it beats up on a lot of the bad decks that people play. Bad being subjective here. Like, obviously, there's not that many bad decks in Modern. Most decks are actually pretty reasonable. But what I mean by that is, like, you can really take advantage of people trying to play things like, you know, Eldrazi Tron or control decks or even Affinity by playing a deck like this.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. Not a whole lot to say on Burn. It's just kind of does its thing.
I think that it's something that you definitely should be prepared for. If you don't have cyborg cards for this deck, you're probably not going to win whatever your event is you're going to.
That's very true. Yeah, you can't skip.
I think that this one definitely has a cyborg tax worth paying.
Yep. All right, let's move on to the next deck, Eldrazi Tron. Spencer, what do you feel about Eldrazi Tron? I know how much you love this deck if you're on the Patreon-only podcast.
This is so ridiculous. I'm not the hater of this deck. I don't know why I'm the one. I know that I'm, like, the guy in charge of constructive criticism, but mm-hmm. I'm not the one that, like, is rude about this deck. It is Michael Hinderrocker that literally attacks this deck. I don't think it's good, but, mm-hmm. like, he says things like, you should feel bad for playing it, and, like, it's whatever. It's just a worse Tron deck.
Yeah, I mean, it's such an interesting deck. I've played it a little bit, actually, since we had the Patreon podcast, and it's, like, some games I just felt like I couldn't lose. Like, I had all the Tron pieces, and I, like, curved out into, like, a Karn or, like, Reshaper Thought-Not-Seer. In other games, it's kind of like what Michael talked about, where you're just like, I'm going to go turn 2 Walking Bliss for 1, turn 3 Mind Stone Expedition Map. You know what I mean? Just not... This deck is really polarizing, it feels. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not a consistent deck, but it does really powerful things all the time, and it just keeps winning. It's crazy.
I think the problem is that it doesn't do powerful things all of the time, and you don't have your deck set up to do one thing in particularly well on any side of it. And the thing is that the reason that the deck has such a big share of the metagame is actually just Chalice of the Void. It just is a really good Chalice of the Void deck. You just are that is your goal, right? If you're not doing something broken, you're just going to Chalice them instead, and that's fine. Like, that's your game plan, and it's just not one that I enjoy, and it's one that Michael likes to make fun of.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that the deck doesn't deserve to be in the metagame. It's just weird. You see things like Hangerback Walker out of the sideboard. Like,
still funny. I mean,
it's just a weird deck, and that's fine that it's weird. Mm-hmm. But like, it has two very it doesn't even have two. It has like 3 to 5 distinct strategies. One of the strategies is you're a Tron deck, right? So you're trying to get Endbringer in or Karn in and, you know, just kill them that way. The other strategy is that you're this mid-range Eldrazi deck. So you play things like a little bit of removal, some Walking Ballistas, and then some mid-range Eldrazi creatures like Mana Reshaper, Thought-Not Seer, and Reality Smasher. And then if neither of those plans comes together, then you just Chalice them. And then you just wait until one of the plans shows up. And I think the problem is, and the reason that so many pros and the people on the show don't like this deck, is because you don't get to decide which one you do in which matchup. Your deck decides it. And that's a real problem. There's no way for you to get to decide what the composition of your deck will be against your opponent in an individual game. That's a bad thing. You can't sit there and tell me that, like, you believe this is the best deck in Modern when, like, you're playing 3 different decks all the time. Like,
yeah. I think calling this deck the best deck in Modern is very strong, to say the least. You know what I mean? It's a deck that is good. I think it's good against some of the decks, but it isn't the best deck. I don't think that's true. I think if it was true, we'd see more pros gravitating towards it and not Grixis Death Shadow and other decks that we're going to talk about later.
Well, I mean, Grixis Death Shadow is a great point comparatively to this deck. I think it's also the next deck we can talk about, and we can talk about the comparisons really quick. If you pull up Grixis Shadow on the screen, like, you have a very distinct game plan that you're trying to execute each game while also interacting with your opponent, and you get to use cards to cycle through your deck, even get to do some top of your deck manipulation with things like Serum Visions to play the game accordingly, which you just don't get with Eldrazi Tron. Like, you get the opportunity to outplay your opponent and get wins that way with this deck that you really, really don't get with decks like Eldrazi Tron. And also, like, the deck just matches up well against so many things. You know, whether it's, you know, Fatal pushing your opponent out, a couple of, you know, Kolaghan's Command, Snapcaster Mages. The deck just is sweet. It's fun. It does interactive things while having a proactive game plan. And that's just basically the opposite of what Eldrazi Tron is doing.
Yeah. One of the big draws to this deck as well is you get to play discard spells like Thoughtseize, which are kind of like Modern's Force of Will. They kind of like let you answer these strategies that you couldn't normally answer. So that's part of the reason I think you also see professional and like spikier players play this kind of deck, is that they feel they have an answer to everything, even if, you know, it doesn't always line up that way.
I mean, even when you look at like the Eldrazi Tron matchup, right? Like, Eldrazi Tron is very, very, very good against Death Shadow. And the reason that's good against it is because you have to interact in so many different ways. But even with that being said, you can still just Thoughtseize them, take the key piece of their turn or their game out, and then you still have a chance to beat them, which just isn't true of Eldrazi Tron. You don't get to play the game that way. You don't get to decide that way. You don't get to interact that way.
Yeah. And another big part of this is too is that Grixis Death Shadow normally can play a fairly big threat on turn two and then continue to do that game plan while hitting you. So, yeah. I think Grixis Death Shadow is definitely closer to being the best deck in Modern. But I have a, you know, the next deck we're talking about might be the best deck. I think we lost Spencer there for a second. Okay. Well, we're going to go to a standby real quick.
Sorry about that, guys. My internet. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. I blame Mason and his pineapple love.
It just pulled an Eldrazi-tron and just decided to do the wrong half of the thing that time. So.
Oh. I hope that when I'm talking about this deck, like I'm saying, I hope that it's not coming across, you know, hateful or.
I don't think it is. If like, anything, I'm the one coming across that way.
I'm giving constructive criticism of the deck. And that's not to say that, like, other decks don't have similar problems, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the thing is oftentimes, like, people will, when they're talking about ramp decks or when they're talking about control decks or midrange decks or aggro decks, a very common complaint in Magic is, oh, well, like, you just draw too many lands or you just draw the wrong half of your deck and then you lose. That's true of every deck. The problem with Eldrazi-tron is that it's very, very different game plans all across the board from each other. So mm-hmm. It kind of looks funny. On paper, it does. I mean, we just talked about Hangerback Walker. You know, some of them play one Karn. Like, they just look weird. And they kind of play like they look, to be completely honest.
Yeah, no, definitely. I also think this deck definitely does a good job at spiking, like, smaller type of tournaments, like the classics, like PPTQs, where they have less rounds to fail. Like, I'm curious. Eldrazi-tron did fine at the GPs recently, but not extraordinarily well. So, I think that's part of everything we talked about. But we should probably move on to the other colorless deck of the format. What do you say?
You mean the five-color deck?
That's one way to look at it. Normally these decks are, like, two-color.
I mean, I don't know what you're playing against. I definitely play against the five-color version, usually.
I mean, normally they're playing, like, red or blue and then black for, like, Thoughtseize in the sideboard. And sometimes you see some white spells. But we're talking about affinity here. Spencer,
I see a black cards.
Yeah.
Red cards.
Yeah.
Blue cards.
Yep.
White cards.
Yep, where's the green?
Red cards with a flashback of green.
Oh, okay. Getting me on the old commander rules, I see. All right.
I'm pretty sure this deck has five colors, and it is one of my favorite decks of Modern. I actually really, really enjoy Affinity. One of the things that I like about the deck that is kind of its evolution recently, the list on your screen you'll see has, I believe, three Memnites. The number of Memnites changing from 3 to 2 to 4 to 3 to 2 to, you know, really has allowed this deck to gain flex spots that originally people didn't think it had. You know, I remember when Steel Overseer first came out, it was like a 1 of and then a 2 of in the deck. And just for a long time, you know, people were just trying different things in this deck. I remember people trying Dark Confidant in this deck. I remember the 4... Thoughtcast 4, Galvanic Blast versions of the deck. Just tons of different ways that people have tried to build this deck. And even today, like, if you look at the list on your screen, this is actually really close to something that I would play. So many people, whether it's Edge Champion in the main, just different things like that, the deck has just been able to evolve into a deck that morphs according to the matchups it wants to play against, and because of how proactive the deck is and how good its game ones can be, it really has a good... like, really good matchups. Like, surprisingly good for Affinity. I mean, it goes ahead and wins the GP in Vegas, and it actually just hasn't taken a step back. Like, the deck is still just great. It's a huge part of the metagame in Modo. It also, obviously, is number one in our power rankings today, after 2 months after the GP, right? Comes in with 35 points, 15 points more than Grixis Shadow, more than double Eldrazi-tron. It's the best deck in Modern right now.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. How do you think it got to the point where it was? Because, you know, 2 months ago at GP, or a month ago, I'm sorry, GP Vegas, the kind of the narrative was Death Shadow is the best deck. We got to beat it. We got to beat Eldrazi-tron. What kind of, in your mind, put Affinity to now where it's kind of like secretly like, hey, we're the best deck? Like, do you think it's just all the sideboard slots and the proactive game plan? What do you think got us to the position where we are now?
Michael Hinderacher and Matthew Kling would tell you that the number of main deck Colgan's commands dictates how good Affinity is, and the more the better Affinity is. Because what happens is people are like, well, I have Colgan's command now, so I don't have to play anything on my sideboard. Mm-hmm. And because of that, and because people are so focused on things like Eldrazi-tron and like Grixis Shadow, I think the deck just moves up. I think that, you know, having one mana interaction like Galvanic Blast that's able to interact with those green-white decks, those mono-white decks, while also producing a clock, like, the deck's just probably one of the best decks. And I mean, it always has been one of the best decks in Modern, and it plays the most powerful card in Modern in Mox Opal. So it's kind of natural to see it makes its way to the top and continue to stay there until people finally decide that they want to just never lose to it again.
Yeah. I definitely agree. I think it's, historically at least, it is the best performing deck in Modern's history. And it does get to play some of these, the most powerful cards. And when people don't respect Affinity, it always will come back. So, yeah, it's kind of cool to see that Wizard hasn't banned this deck out. I think that'd be a mistake. But, you know, it's nice to have a deck kind of like this that's always in the format and kind of keeps the format in check as well.
Yeah, I usually say mono nice things about Paulo. But, you know, one of Paulo's biggest complaints is actually that Affinity exists because it occupies such a large portion of your sideboard. I actually am okay with that. I think that this deck being good does other things for the format that lets it that lets you have certain decks appear, disappear, keep certain strategies out that we wouldn't have enough sideboard cards anyway if this deck wasn't a deck. So I'm really glad that it is. I also really enjoy playing the deck. This is the deck that I probably play the most games not in tournaments with. I think that it's a deck that learning how to master will really help you get better at Magic, and it's something that I've been trying to do for the last couple months.
Yeah, definitely. I think this deck definitely, the better you are, the better Affinity is. And I think also a similar thing about how this keeps decks in line is similar for Grixis Death Shadow. A lot of people are talking about wanting to ban it, but it's keeping a lot of other decks that maybe aren't the most fun thing in the world down.
Yeah, one thing that I want to talk about really quick is just kind of the list on the screen. I actually really like this list now that I'm looking at it. The only thing that I don't like is the Stemmer Denial. I actually wish that was a Spell Pierce, but other than that, I like everything about this deck on the screen.
Yeah, so I was going to talk to you. How do you feel about Blood Moon out of the sideboard with Affinity? Is that a card you always like to have in your sideboard?
I think it's totally reasonable. Stop trying to bring it in against these Volokit decks, people, though. They're going to have, like, Obstinate Baloth and Primeval Titan against you post-board. Your Blood Moon is not going to stop their game plan. They probably don't even have Scapeshift against you anymore. Yeah. Like, you do not board in Blood Moon against Titan Shift. It doesn't work.
Yeah, some builds will also have Nature's Claim and stuff, too.
They're going to board in Nature's Claim anyway and Fracturing Gust.
Yeah, you're just going to get got.
Yeah, I just beat an Affinity player in the top 8 where, like, I cast Wood Elves, got Forest, like, played Primeval Titan, got Forest, and he's, like, looking, he's like, alright, whatever, like, play out my hand. I was like, cool, like, Fracturing Gust you, and he was like, well, now I just look stupid. And it's like, stop trying to do that. There are matchups that's going to be really good. I'm just giving you the advice that that's not one of them.
Yeah, I definitely can agree from personal experience. It's not going to always, or almost ever, really work out for you.
Gurapir Aethergrid, though, is like one of the sweetest cards to ever be put in, like, to ever see Modern play. Can we just acknowledge the fact that this card has seen Modern play since it came out, and it's super sweet?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's also, you know, in the best deck in Modern, secretly, Lander Control, so.
Warm I don't know what's happening right now.
Working in the best deck in Modern, man.
You are entitled to your opinion, Mason.
I'm just joking. I think this and Death Shadow are probably the best decks in Modern, or the decks to beat, to be honest.
I think the Affinity and Death Shadow are the best decks also, and I think that they deserve their spots. And I think that Affinity's in, or not Affinity, Modern is in a good place because they're the best decks, and the format's become very fun and something very enjoyable for me compared to where it usually is. I still don't like Modern PPTQ season. I find it I don't like being taken off Standard. I think that I don't like it as much. I know for a lot of people it's really fun, but for me it's a little weird.
It's very stressful and annoying to have to, like, plan for these events and, like,
I have a standard RPTQ. I have a standard GP coming up. I got a test for the Pro Tour with my friends in Standard. All the while I have to go play Modern to, like, I don't know. It's just weird. It is good that this is qualifying for a Modern Pro Tour, though. So it means that I do like that. So let's move on to our training grounds, though. So that's it for the power rankings. Mason, what do you think of Modern right now? What do you think of these decks and what we're talking about these days in Modern?
Well, I really like you said, where Modern is right now. I think Grixis Death Shadow and Affinity, specifically Grixis Death Shadow, the rise into the top, push down a lot of decks that I personally don't like being in Modern. and aren't really fun to play against. And it's kind of created a very fun mid-range format. We're seeing decks like Blue-White Control actually having results for once in the metagame. This is the first time like a control deck's been good since basically Splinter Twin. And I like that those kind of decks are existing. I think the format's really fun. Like you, I don't super enjoy preparing for it at the PPTQ level, but it's very fun to go play. Like, we have a Wednesday tournament at our local store. Those are always fun to play against, and I think it's finally in a healthy place, and I haven't had this much fun since probably around the Splinter Twin era. So, yeah. That's kind of where I'm at with Modern.
Yeah, I was glad to see that Wizards said that they didn't plan on banning anything for this Modern Pro Tour if they can avoid it, and so hopefully we just get a really fun tournament to watch, and hopefully some of us will be there. Hopefully some of the listeners, and maybe myself or Mason and Michael and Danny can make it there.
He'll be a Platinum Pro after winning our Devastation, so...
Oh, yeah. Fool's Gold Pro, Michael Hinderrock, moving up to Platinum.
Yeah, exactly. Easy. There you go.
Easy BBGG. Well, let's go into training grounds. So this week we want to talk about how to learn from PT coverage. So we want to talk specifically about what the things that you need to do to give yourself an opportunity to learn from that coverage, not just, you know, taking notes, writing stuff down. Like, what are the things, what's the mindset that you need and the things that you should be doing to try and gain some knowledge while watching just the super cool thing that exists in Magic the Gathering. Like, when you think about things like, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh! Or even Pokemon, like, they don't have a pro tour. Like, there's not Pokemon pros in the same way that there's Magic pros. There are people that go to Worlds and have success, but Magic has something different that they're trying to make, even if not very successfully, like this
yeah, for sure.
This idea of a Magic pro, and it's really fun, and we have a lot to learn from the people that are there. Let's get right into something first. The things that I'm talking about can apply to all coverage. It doesn't just have to apply to the PT, but I think that the PT does a very good job at a lot of things, so we kind of want to highlight that as we go into this. And the number one thing that I say every single time this subject comes up is watch to learn, not to correct. Mason, what do I mean by that?
So lots of times when you're watching the Pro Tour, it's very easy just to, like, watch and be like, that's so dumb. Why would you cast that Path to Exile right there? Like, he's clearly holding up Mana Leak, for example, right? Those kind of things are very easy when you're watching and you have all the information, and it makes you feel smart. It's a way to validate yourself, and it's not really helping you learn. Instead of asking, like, well, why did PV cast Path there when he clearly had Mana Leak to protect his Deceiver Exarch, right? You should, like, that's the question you should be asking, not PV is an idiot for doing this, for example. Those are just not really helpful, and they don't really help you improve at the game. Because if you're always criticizing others and saying, look how great I am, I'm seeing all these lines that they aren't, they're so dumb, they're so bad, how is this Todd Stevens guy even winning tournaments, for example, right? Like, those kind of things that like are things I hear, they don't really help you improve at the game. The point of coverage is to be entertaining, but also a chance to see players who are better than you or are playing on another level than you and have a chance to watch them firsthand, essentially, and learn from them. See how they make those plays. See why PV cast the path. Maybe PV cast the path knowing the Mana Leak was going to happen so that he could cast another spell in a second. And those kind of plays are something you might have even been thinking about. So that is, I think, one of the also biggest things in learning from learning from watching the coverage.
Yeah, and I think that kind of the first point you made is the point that I like to focus on is that, you know, while watching people to correct them makes you feel really smart, it also means that you're not watching for the right reasons, because there is a lot to be learned even from players that are worse than you all the time in Magic the Gathering. Magic the Gathering is really, really, really hard. And you might think you know it all, but you probably don't, because if you did, you would be on the Pro Tour, you would be the one that we're watching. Mm-hmm. And you're not there. So take this opportunity to watch somebody who's gotten there and learn from them.
Exactly.
I think.
Yeah.
So let's talk about kind of outside of just the matches. So often people don't listen to the things that are coming out of the mouths of the people who are at the Pro Tour. You know, who's the guy that won with Black White?
Oh, I know he's on Team Haruya. Not Donald Smith. I know what you're talking about, though. He won Black White and said it was the worst deck he's ever played at a Pro Tour.
Yeah, he was like, this deck was terrible, do not play it. People continued to play it. They lost with it. They're like, why does this deck suck? I mean, Shouta Yusoka, he won with Grixis Control, and he was like, don't play this deck. Mm. Like, this deck wasn't good. Don't play it. People bought it on Moto, lost for 2 weeks, and like, you have to listen to what they're saying. And that goes for both sides, right? It can be that the deck overperformed, and like, they know that it overperformed, they'll tell you. Or it can be that the deck underperformed, right? You know, it could be that the deck, like, the deck was legitimately great. Like, Green White Tokens was a deck that probably underperformed at its Pro Tour. It was the best deck by a significant margin. Yeah. You know, it should have had, like, a Cobblade-esque Pro Tour, and it didn't. But, you know, 3 months later, we're all singing the praise of that deck and what it is in that standard environment. You have to listen to the things that the people are saying. They're going to tell you how good their deck is. They want you to know. They're going to tell you how bad their deck is. They want you to know. They're going to tell you if their draft strategy was incorrect. They want you to know. Listen to them. Don't just watch.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah. It's what I think another example of that is, I believe it was Calcano, when he had like the Slitherblade deck from the last PT. Was he the guy that was drafting it? He was talking about on coverage. He even said, like, yeah, no one knows about the strategy, so you just like take all the Slitherblades, and since no one knows, you get this super hyper aggro deck and you just kill your opponents. And like, even in his interview, he kind of said, like, yeah, this only works if people don't know. And everyone's like, oh, that's super smart, I want to be super smart too. And then they went on like MTGO and they all tried to draft Slitherblade decks, and they all just had terrible decks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that it's important to kind of take a step back and get the whole picture, not just the thing that you want to hear, not to write your own narrative about it, but to get the actual narrative. What's actually going on? What are people actually saying, you know, on the floor and things like that? You know, going into Pro Tour, coming out of Pro Tour Origins, I know that Yul Larson won the Pro Tour, but even before he was winning, people were already saying that Mono Red was the best deck at that Pro Tour. Everybody in the floor knew it. You know, after day one, we were all talking about it. Everybody was talking about how great that deck was, how great Exquisite Firecraft was, how great Abbot of Carol Keep was. Like, it was already a topic of conversation on the floor of that Pro Tour. You need to listen to that kind of stuff. Follow the stuff that's going on Twitter. What are people talking about? Mm-hmm. And go ahead.
I was going to say, if you look at Blue White from the PT Kaladesh, it didn't put any decks in the top eight, mostly because the players had a bad limited run, but they all 8-2 constructed. And then we saw how Blue-White was, according to at least Moto, the results Watsi told us, was the best performing deck of that standard format. So the Blue-White Flash deck with Thopter and Gideon and Spellqueller, even though it didn't make a top 8 thing, if you were just looking at what everyone was saying, they're all saying, like, wow, this deck's really good, and then it crushed the next GP the next weekend, and it continued to crush the entire format. It in Black Green Delirium and Marvel, for example.
You're talking about the Copter deck?
Yeah, the Copter Gideon Spellqueller deck.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. The one from the Immercool format. Yeah. According to Wizards, it was the best performing deck of that format. That was why Reflective Mage and Copter got banned.
Yeah, so you know, I think that the other thing that you can do when it comes to specifically the Pro Tour that people don't do for some reason, I don't know why, is watch Limited.
I'm going to say it's hard to watch Limited, and it's not, you know, Limited's fault. It's other factors going on, but yes, it's a great way to learn, because I think a lot of people don't put enough time into Limited, to be fair.
What makes watching Limited hard for you, Mason?
Hard for me. So I really, really love the first part of the Limited thing. They sit down at a draft table. It's stacked. You know, we got PV, LSV, Ben Stark, and we watch like three of their drafts. Right. And then we just never follow them. And it's really hard to, you know, kind of follow the narrative and see like how these decks are performing if I'm just like, I watch one game of PV versus LSV, right? And I know what one of the decks is, but then we jump to a fourth person that we never even saw draft. So I think that is one of the flaws of the Pro Tour, but they also, you know, want to promote all the players. It's kind of unfair just to have one on screen the whole time. But I think for me personally, if like we watched PV draft and we watched all three of his rounds, regardless of if PV was 0-2 or 2-0, it would be really helpful. And I think more people will get more out of it because they would see how the draft archetype and how he played his deck, for example. It'd also be really cool to see maybe have him record a little side thing and then during one of the breaks show PV talking about how he's building his deck, for example.
Interesting. That's an interesting point. One of the things that I have is, you know, when I watch Limited coverage, I learn much more than watching Constructed coverage for a few reasons. One is there are smaller nuances and smaller edges to be gained in Limited than they are in Constructed, to be completely honest. Like, you're having a good Constructed deck gets you a very, very long way. And like, unless your deck is kind of a train wreck in Limited, your deck's just not that much worse than the deck that goes to than a 2-1 deck, right? Like, it just doesn't happen. And because of that, I think that you have so much more you can gain from watching limited coverage and applying those things into all areas of Magic as you learn them and how to gain edges in specifically limited, and kind of apply them into constructed, into standard, into legacy, into modern. I think there's a lot to be gained. You know, specifically, there was a time when Casey and I would watch the Pro Tour. We'd watch Owen Turtenwald play Magic, and we're just like, this is all I want to watch. This is the thing. Like, he's the best player in the world. It's not close. We can see what he's doing, and we can learn from it. And that didn't just happen in Constructed. He gained those minute edges in Limited. You know, whether it's playing around a card in your opponent's hand, how could they possibly know that they have that? You know, just all the way through. Those are the things that if you take as an experience, if you find the enjoyment in the learning aspect, then you might be able to overlook some of the problems with the coverage.
That's very true and very fair. I think it is also hard for some players to want to watch Limited when they have so few Limited events. You know what I mean? Like,
so few Limited events is weird, right? Like, how many drafts do you do?
Well, it kind of depends on what your goal is, right? Like, if you're trying to get onto the Pro Tour, you probably don't draft that much because there aren't that many PBDQs and there are only so many sealed GPs. And a lot of players, like, steer away from sealed GPs, you know what I mean? Like, how much does drafting actually help you get onto the Pro Tour, right?
Interesting. I think that most of the best players I know do 10 to 15 drafts minimum a format.
Yeah, I mean, but that's pretty reasonable over like the span of a format. But what I'm saying is, like, does that, like, how does that actively help your goal if you're like on the PPTQ grinding level, right? Like, there aren't that many limited events, at least not in our area. How about this? Like, our stores do not do a lot of limited events.
There's usually about 3 to 5 limited PPTQs in my area every season.
Okay, I would say there's 1 to 2 in Tennessee.
Yeah, but if nobody's practicing limited and you're the guy practicing limited, that makes you have the huge edge.
That is true. That is fair. Yeah, if you are, you know, one, the better limited player in your area, then you would have that edge. That's fair. That's a good way to look at it.
I mean, I top 8 the majority of the sealed PPTQs that I play in simply because I do Pro Tour prep the weekend before, but the day before the set comes out, and I get games that other people aren't getting in.
That's a very fair and good point. It's probably something I could do better at, personally.
And I think that all players are this way. So there's a problem that happens in Magic with identifying as something, right? You identify as a limited player. You identify as a constructed player. You identify as an aggro player. And to me, the truth is that you're just a Magic player. And if you want to be the best Magic player you can be, you need to remove those identifiers. And you need to just be the best that you can be at everything that you can be good at.
That's true. It's very fair. Yeah.
The next point that I have on this is watching with your friends. I find so much more enjoyment out of the Pro Tour. I mean, I used to throw what I called Super Bowl parties every Pro Tour. I'd invite people over, we'd have drinks, we'd order pizza, and we'd just sit and watch the Pro Tour and talk about it, and talk about the decks, talk about the things that are going on. It was really, really helpful. And I highly, highly recommend it. Mason wants me to mention Discord.
Yeah, I mean, last Pro Tour Amiket in Nashville, we actually, it was you, me, and a couple of the listeners, we were kind of doing that each from our own home. You know, and that's something you can do with the Discord channel, which you can find in the Constructive Criticism family group.
Yeah, I think that, you know, getting with a group of friends, getting into Discord, things like that. If I'm not mistaken, I actually used my stream to have chat for the last Pro Tour. Actually, not the Discord.
Doing that. Yeah. Well, no, I remember us chatting on Sunday during the PT semis.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But either way, I think surrounding yourself with people with similar mindsets that you can talk about things together in a way that's conducive to learning is really going to help you maximize your viewing experience, especially if you're trying to get better and learn from these people.
Yeah, and that kind of works into our first point we talked about earlier, where watching to learn, not watching to feel smart. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah,
exactly. The next point that I have on here is, you know, it isn't about what wins the event there as often as it's just about conversion rates, win percentage, things like that. That's all going to be stuff that you're going to get after the fact. So kind of just enjoy and learn. Like, watch the decks as they're playing, learn their play patterns, learn what the players are trying to do, what they're playing against, things like that. And don't worry about what's winning the event. Just try and learn card interactions and things like that for you to gain an edge at your next event.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I think this goes back to something I talked about earlier, like the blue-white flash deck at PT Kaladesh. Even though it did not make the top 8, if you go and look at the results, Wizards will post the all the standard decks that go 8-2 or better. And if you go through and you look through those results, I was like 3 or 4 of the Flash decks had the best constructed rating of any deck. And a lot of people who top 8-ed got there on a 6-0 limited start, which is truly how they top 8-ed PT. But neither here or there, you need to look at all the information, not just the deck that wins. You know, sometimes the difference in winning a Magic game is one draw step. You know, you could be playing Affinity, I'm sorry, how about this, Burn versus, you know, Soul Sisters, and Soul Sisters can lose because of a few bad draws. So it's important to look at things and how they all shake up.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And finally, the kind of final thing that I have is have fun. Like, use Magic tournaments to watch them and their experience to have fun. You know, don't make it a job. Don't take too many notes. Grab a drink, sit back, enjoy what I call the Magic Super Bowl. Like, I legitimately enjoy watching the Pro Tour. I really look forward to it. I put it on my big screen TV, and I sit back and relax and just watch it the whole time. It's really fun for me. I really, really enjoy it. This weekend, I've got a birthday party for Manny Marez's son. has turned one, and we're going to celebrate that. But other than that, I'm going to try and spend most of my time watching the Pro Tour and really enjoying it and just having fun doing it. And I recommend everybody else try and do that as well.
Yeah, definitely. Crack a cold one open with your boys and go and watch the PG. It's a lot of fun.
Mason, my wife does not believe you're old enough to do that, and she would be upset at me if I didn't tell you you're not allowed to drink.
Well, I'm definitely old enough to drink, and I do definitely support drink responsibly. So, but there's no better way to drink than while watching Marshall and LSV commentate the Pro Tour. There you go.
Yeah. I think Paul Chion is even commentating this Pro Tour.
He is, yeah, because now he's part of the play design team. So
yeah, so exciting. That should be exciting. Yeah. All right, so don't forget to check out our Patreon at patreon.com to support the show. You can go to patreon.com/ccmtg. Our next goal currently is upgrading our equipment. I'm actually just already doing that. I already got Michael a headset, me a headset. I'm getting somebody else a headset, so we're just already doing that. So we'll probably just change the goals up. Sometimes things just have to happen, and this was one of them that we just needed to do some upgrades to equipment and things like that as equipment was getting old, things like that. And But every dollar really does help for stuff like that. Like I said, I was able to just go and buy those microphones that I just wouldn't have been able to do without you guys. So thank you so much to our patrons. It really, really does mean the world to me. But yeah, patreon.com/ccmtg. Mason, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @SOVMason, and you can find me on the Constructed Criticism family group, Mason Clark. You'll see me posting all the links to everything. Normally, you don't see me on the show. I'm the technical producer behind the scenes. I take care of some of the social media stuff as well. But if you message me, you can always reach out. I'm always there to talk. I love talking about Magic. I got to meet one listener of the show this past weekend at SCG Atlanta. Adrian, shout out to you. That was super awesome. And so, yeah, I definitely enjoy it. And I'm always there to talk Magic and talk about how great pineapple is on pizza with you. If you want a safe place to talk, I'm there.
All I'm saying is that Adrian is supposed to be your friend, yes. And he let you sleeve up that black-white deck and didn't light it on fire. I know he's not really your friend.
Would you like to know a fun story? But I was helping him test Modern beforehand, and he talked about how my deck got posted in the 5-0s, and he's like, man, that deck looks terrible. And I'm like, oh, that was me. So he tried. There you go.
That is friendly of him.
Yeah, how nice.
I would have just stolen it. I wouldn't have let him play it.
That's how I know you're a true amigo, right?
Yeah, if you were to stole I got my... your back. Yeah, I got your back.
You were like, here, take Mono Red. Do the thing that needs to be done.
I would have given you a Pro Tour list from our testing, but you didn't even ask.
That's true. Oh, I didn't want to ask. And also, to be fair, I did pretty well. Like, I had 3 losses, but only one of my losses really counted because of the team thing. So, if you spin it the correct way, I'm X-1. I got, that fake news alternative facts.
Okay.
Really, is my Modern play that let me down. #Jason.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at SpencerThirtonH. You can find me on Facebook at Spencer Stephen Howland. You can find me in the Constructed Criticism family on Facebook. If you are a Constructed Critic, meaning you donate $5 or more per month to the podcast, you can join the Constructed Critics group. Where, these are the people that we really appreciate their support. They are going kind of a little bit of an extra mile. It's like paying for Netflix almost, and we really, really appreciate the support from them. So we've made a special group for them where we post Pro Tour testing lists early. We answer questions there that are a little bit more private. So if you donate $5 a month or more, you can find me there. You can also find me on Twitch. I stream every once in a while. There might be a sweet pummeler list coming out of our Pro Tour testing that I might stream with. It's really sweet.
Yeah.
I saw the list and I was like, yep.
All right.
Yeah.
plus fling, minus fling.
Oh, there's definitely fling.
All right, it's got to be the best deck. Ship it. Ship it. Let's go. Get on the stream.
And I love streaming Pummeler. I have a really good time. I drink while I'm doing it. So if you want to find me, you can just right here on this Twitch channel. You can find me streaming. I'll be streaming some Popper, some Standard, things like that over the next few months as I just try and jam more games of Magic. So you can find me in the Discord channel as well. You can find all of that information just on the bios page on constructivecriticism.com. You can join the clan by messaging me on MTGO at Spencer13Dev, and I'd be happy to add you there. You can also tweet at us with #WithEverybeGood. #WithEverybeGood is our Twitter outreach program. We believe that if you tweet it, we should read it.
Save that one there. There you go. I'm pulling up this #WithEverybeGood. I never had to do this part of the show. I'm normally not on.
Yeah, well, I mean, you are on it because, you know.
The Bachelorette's like the best show on television. Rachel made terrible mistakes yesterday, and a lot of things happened, but, you know.
Did she make terrible mistakes? I just watched that episode.
I don't know. I haven't finished the episode. I have, like, 30 minutes left, but I don't like what this season finale is heading. That's all I'm going to say. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't like the guys. Rachel's too good for all of them.
Well, Brian Dawes says, wait, what is happening? Where are we starting here?
I don't know. So I think the last one would... I think the first one would be Adrian, right?
What?
I had it on top. I'm sorry. I'm using my phone to try and figure this out. You're just shaking your head. It's all going downhill.
All right. Scotty says, oh, high and mighty God of Pharaoh, what is your command for your cult? #WithEverybeGood. #HopeManny is on. Manny did not come on this week. He instead started a new podcast that you can find at Common Knowledge. You can find it on iTunes. Just search Common Knowledge. It has our logo. I gotta figure out how to change some of that stuff. I'm not very good at with the RSS feed stuff, but yeah, you can find them on iTunes. Leave them a review. You can also find their Patreon. Just search Common Knowledge, and you can become a patron of Common Knowledge as well.
Podcast name.
It's a pretty good one. It's pretty good. Constructive Criticism's pretty great.
Common knowledge. It's a common show about knowledge. Come on.
I this is constructive criticism about constructed. My show name is better, Mason.
Not gonna argue this. Here or there, pineapple and pizza. Let's move on to some Pokemon.
Spencer needs the best #best Pokemon themes, playing elves at SCG Atlanta as the legacy player, #WithEverybeGood. I do like the first movie theme song. All I'm saying is that Born to Be a Winner is the one that pumps me up the most. That doesn't mean that the original theme song isn't great. I'm just Born to Be a Winner, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Vinny says flight booked for Denver next month and register for the GP. #WithEverybeGood. I should register for that GP.
You should definitely get on that. Get a crush, Vinny.
Are you going to that GP?
To GP Denver? Yeah. No, I'm going to the GP in Indianapolis next month, but I'm not going to Denver. That's a little bit of a flight, so. Unfortunate.
What's the next one we got?
Let's see here. We have Scotty Perosky seeing PSA. Carolina Reapers on food, tasty with a spicy kick. Carolina Reapers without food, 1 hour sweating, screaming, and crying. #WithEverybeGood.
Is that a pepper?
I think that's like one of those like top 10 peppers of all time. You know what I mean? Like if you eat it, you're going to like die type of thing. You know what I mean? That sounds terrible, man. Scotty, I'm sorry. That feels really bad.
I remember my first time trying ghost pepper stuff. So I put ghost pepper cheese on my food all the time, though, actually. So,
yeah, you do? How'd that go?
They really good. They have it at my work. So, like, they have a sandwich bar at my work, and I'll just get ghost pepper cheese probably, like, twice a week.
Interesting. I'm not a huge fan of spicy stuff. I'll do it, but only every now and again.
I like spicy food an unreasonable amount. It's probably why I'm so unhealthy, actually.
Probably why you don't like pineapple on your pizza as well. So sweet.
No, just because it's wrong.
Wrong subjective. Would you say playing Eldrazi-tron is wrong?
I mean, it's incorrect. You shouldn't do it. But
oh, there you go. That's all I needed to hear.
Ashley's 25. Would like someone special so we can rush to get married and have a couple of children and turn out to be awful little brats that drain our bank accounts and we slowly resent each other. You develop a gambling problem. I hit the bottle. Then I poison you over time. So that no one is suspicious and I can collect your life insurance, but right before you die, a slow death, I whisper in your ear, you should have swiped left, I remarry your rich cousin, no vegans.
Yep.
So, fun fact, I have never ever had a Tinder account because I got married before Tinder existed.
Oh wow, crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you had to actually talk to people?
My wife and I met in high school.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, and I dated her friend, and then broke up with her friend, and my wife hated me because her friend told stuff about me. And then my wife and I became best friends later. Mm-hmm. And then we got into a huge fight because of another girl I was dating. And then one day she just showed up at my house with my friend, and we decided to be friends again. And I asked her on a date, and then we were married later. So
awesome.
Yeah.
It's a good story.
Yeah.
It's, tale as old as time.
That's the Cliff Notes version of my relationship with my wife.
Shout out to you, Devin.
Right. When will the CC MTG Roppers go on sale? Hashtag MTG Fashion and hashtag with the good at Spencer13H at Paris Hilton. Okay, so I said I would pay for the CC MTG Roppers. Michael said he was going to get them made and that I was just going to pay for them. You need to reach out to Michael and figure out when you can get your rompers, when he's going to be wearing one. I don't know. I am not in charge of this endeavor.
So you need to tweet at MagicMikeMTG?
Yes, yes.
There you go.
Also, Mason was not there for this conversation. So when we were in Vegas, we were talking about CCMTG swag and things like that. And people were, well, what about the male rompers? Like, you could get CCMTG rompers. And I was like, what? And then Michael and Danny were like, yeah, we'll wear those at the Pro Tour. Like, hug us up, brah.
So they're probably going to have rompers on at the PT. So when the finals is them two playing, they're going to be CCMTG logo rompers.
I have not purchased any rompers. That doesn't mean that they didn't go out of their way to do it.
Yeah. Or maybe they had kimonos because it's in Japan.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Adrian says, playfully lost the last two, still making day two. Hashtag other good. No, why did you play horribly? Don't do that.
Hey, I want to give a shout out to Adrian because he came up to me at the last round of the Swiss and he was like, I was like, how you doing, man? Do you think you made day two? And he's like, no, I didn't make it. He's like, our team, we sucked, we failed. And I was like, hey, don't get on yourself like that. You know, like, you might still make it because of breakers. Then he made it on breakers, and then he had to win it in for top eight. And, you know, lost it because Leyline the Void on zero is powerful against Dredge. But, you know, he rallied back after being so down on himself and having a last... You know, your tournament can be dictated sometimes just by the last few rounds of it. And he had, like, a very bad last three rounds, but it didn't bring him down for the next set. He fought even harder, so...
I think he actually X5 won, but it didn't cash, dude.
You mean day two?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It was a really weird tournament. I know that he played our local guys in the last round for the top 12. I don't know how many people actually got paid.
Did they win?
No, our guys beat him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've heard a rumor that there's a special place in hell for people who ruin perfectly good pizza by putting pineapple on it. Hashtag that'd be good. That's a fact.
Wow, that's so aggressive.
Hey, my wife and I have a hard time with this. And one day she'll come to the light and the truth, and I will accept her with loving open arms. But until that day, like, she's just wrong.
What if just, like, you're wrong about Eljazitron, you're wrong about pineapple and pizza, and she'll open you with loving arms?
No. Nope. All right. That's not how it's going to work.
Selective hearing, that's all I'm hearing.
Kyle Novus says, at CCMTG, I finally got myself a tweeting account, hashtag weather good. That's at Kyle_Novus, the host of Common Knowledge. So check it out.
That would be good.
It would be good. At Eggbeat says, first team meeting, hashtag with up good. Eggbeat is, I believe, a GP top 8 competitor that we're all staying with in New Zealand to go to Nationals.
Yeah. I think some of us are marrying him, too, to get there. But, you know, we still have to kind of decide the wedding details.
What is that? It can't be. Is it polygamy if we're all men?
I don't see why not. It's 2017.
Sure. I mean, I don't know.
I don't care. We're in an open relationship. Yeah. You're in Utah, so you're used to this kind of stuff.
That's not true. It's not even legal in Utah. It's not even allowed in the church.
All right.
You have to go to Texas to get polygamy Mormons that are, like, not even a part of the real Mormon church.
So what I'm hearing is Texas, once again, is the boot of America. Just
I didn't say that at all.
I did. Don't worry. I'm not going to be back on for, like, eight months. You're good.
I don't want to deal with the wrath of Texans. They're scary.
If you're mad at me, Texans, tweet at Magic Mike on Twitter for all your hate. And if you're mad about Eldrazitron, please tweet at Magic Mike on Twitter. He'll be there to handle all the Eldrazitron hate.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's definitely true. All right. So we have Streaming Popper Esper Zombies and Soul Tide Land Destruction this Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern. Check out Cursed Lono on Twitch. Hashtag MTG, hashtag the good. That's the host of Common Knowledge. Check him out on Twitch. Andrew Elliott says...
Hang on, let me get this one here. I got it. So Andrew Elliott tweets at me, Mason, saying, getting skunked by me with Eldrazi Tron in the finals of the PBTU this Saturday. Hashtag would that be good. Let me tell you something, Andrew. I don't do Make-A-Wish Foundation things where I just, like, concede to people, all right? That's not happening. Furthermore, you're playing Eldrazi Tron with, like, no Karns and stuff like that. There's just no way that's right. And I'm playing Titan Shift. Life's great. Deck's great. You can have fun in the 0-3 bracket. Deuces. That's all I gotta say.
I don't do Make-A-Wishes. Wow. I don't do Make-A-Wishes. So rude. Co-hosting at CCMG, hashtag with a big head. Yeah, it was fun. It was a good episode. It was shorter. I was hoping it was shorter, but it was really fun. I loved getting to talk about Modern. I loved getting to criticize a deck that I think is fine, but, you know, I'm sure that I'll get all the hate still. I'm sorry, guys. Like, you know, one thing that I really appreciate that we do on this podcast and that we've always tried to do is just be honest about our feelings about decks and where we think things stand. And I think that has gotten us a lot to where we are, where we do feel like we can be honest with our listeners and where we can accept criticism and feedback from them, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, if a listener had, you know, a thought as to why I might be wrong about Eldrazi Tron, I'd always be happy to hear it and communicate with them and hear that feedback. That feedback can't be, it's the best deck, you're wrong, because that's not what I did, right? I gave constructive criticism about the deck, but I'd love to hear yours as to why I'm wrong. So,
yeah. Also, I just want to say that, like, you are not your deck, and your deck is not you. If we don't like your deck, that doesn't mean we don't like you. That's something that I see happens a lot with Magic players, you know?
Right, but your pizza is you, so if you put pineapple on
it, you are what you eat. You don't eat Magic cards, so I mean, yeah.
Exactly. Thank you, everybody, for listening. See you guys all next week.
Later. Magic.